Let's turn in our Bibles now, this time, to Colossians, the book of Colossians in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin our reading at verse number 14. But the last three words of verse 13 are important to understand. The words are His dear Son. His, that's God's, dear Son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature or all creation. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. Now, over to verse 21, I guess. 21, and you that were sometime alienated, that is, far off or foreign to God, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. Now, I think that's all I want to read. And I have a very simple concept that I want to preach about tonight. I want to preach about three little questions that will help us understand the Lord Jesus more. If we have an understanding tonight of the Lord Jesus, hopefully this will help us to understand more. And if we have not yet come to understand who the Lord Jesus is and what He has done, then this might be new information for us. But three questions. Number one, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Number two, what did He do? So starting with who He is, now what did He do? And ultimately, I want to bring this to its climax by asking the question, why did He do it? You got it? Three simple questions. Number one, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Number two, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? And number three, why did He do it? Opinions are different. Everyone has a different opinion. And it seems like every religious belief likes to present its different theologies. So it could be tonight that we all have a slightly different idea of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You will remember last night when we were preaching the gospel, we saw the necessity of coming to the Bible to find the real answer. Because if we go by your opinion and my opinion, we'll never have the authoritative answer. When we come to the book, we find the answer, right? So the Bible tells us who the Lord Jesus is. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was a good man. Absolutely a good man. You would think that every religious person in the world would confess that the Lord Jesus Christ was a good man. According to the Bible, we are told when it comes to sin, the Lord Jesus, He did no sin. And He never lied. Neither was guile found in His mouth. So, He was a good man. But even beyond just doing no sin, we are told that He knew no sin. So there's no sin in His mind. No sins on His hands, No sin on his lips, no sin in his mind. But also according to the Bible, we learn that right within him, if you were able to get right inside, closer than any person could get, you know what you would find? In him is no sin. No sin on his hands, no sin on his lips, no sin in his mind, and no sin in him. An absolutely good man, holy, and even the Bible would tell us, incapable of sinning, unable to sin. Remarkable, really. He was a good man. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was a prophet, and he was a prophet. According to the Old Testament book of Moses, Deuteronomy, we are told that there was going to be a prophet raised up like unto Moses, him shall ye hear. And while there were many prophets in the Old Testament, the fulfillment of that scripture was the Lord Jesus Christ, a prophet. But what if I told you the Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus is more than just a good man? And the Lord Jesus is more than just a prophet. What if I told you that the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is actually the Son of God? The Son of God. Now, for us, that means certain things. But to give you exactly what the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ is that this Son of God had no beginning. This Son of God will have no ending. This Son of God came into this world in Bethlehem. According to the Bible, he was born in that little town of Bethlehem, right? The little town of Bethlehem where it was prophesied that he should come, but there he was born, and he was born in that stable, and he was placed in a manger, a little baby in a manger where the animals would eat. That's where he was. The Son of God came into the world, but that's not where he began. I look to Summerside, PEI, as the place of my birth. And you could say that's where Brody Head is beginning, conceived and then born and then now he's alive, right? But I had a beginning. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't have his beginning when he came into this world in Bethlehem. And he didn't have his beginning when he came into the womb of the Virgin. He never had a beginning. In fact, what we've been reading here right now tells us that he was not created. He is the creator. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure if you think in those terms with me. But even us believers, we fail to marvel at the fact that the man that we are preaching as the Savior of sinners is the Creator of all things. By him were all things created. According to the Gospel of John, what do we learn? We learn that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, a good man, but more. A prophet, but more, the Son of God from all eternity who has created all things. That's the Lord Jesus. But just in case you get a little confused with the terms, he's not just what we would call a son. He is God himself. You can read about it in three different places in your Bible at least, 4, 5, 6, 7 maybe. Where direct statements are made that tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. 1 John chapter 5, coming on the last phrase of the entire epistle, this, he is the true God. He, who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. We read in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. What are you learning there? You are learning that the Lord Jesus Christ was always there with the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ is God. So we're transcending now what religion thinks of the Lord Jesus. We are transcending what a human mind may be able to grasp about the Lord Jesus. And we're telling you now that the babe that was laying in the manger in Bethlehem is the one who was God from all eternity. You say, why is that important? If you don't know who the Lord Jesus is, why would you trust him? Why would you trust just a good man with your entire life? Why would you trust just a prophet with your eternity? See, this man that we are preaching on to you is so much more. But we read there in Colossians not only who he is, we read about what he has done. We read about what he has done. We read about his blood. Now, David opened the meeting with a song about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take a couple more minutes to go over what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ signifies to us in the Scriptures, because I think it's good to keep going over these things. I don't feel it necessary to make apology for repetition, hardly ever. But when we're going over these things, we need to understand that the word blood does refer to actual blood. Okay? So the idea of blood is not a foreign concept to us, is it? We have blood running through our veins. In fact, if you didn't have any blood, you would be dead. Now that sounds a little too blunt, but that's the truth. And it's not only me that says that, the doctor will tell you. And it's not only the doctor that tells you that, the Bible will tell you. The life of the flesh is in the blood. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the phrase, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not just talking about the physical liquid that flowed from his veins. When we talk about his blood, we are talking about the real death of a real man. Now, there's nothing fake about the Lord Jesus and his humanity, and there's nothing abnormal about this blood. It was real blood from a real man who really died on the cross. But the word blood here is used to describe the value of what that work on the cross is, or the value of what he did on the cross. So I'm going to go over it again. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is real blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is literal blood. But when we talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are talking about the value of his death to God and the value of his death to us. So it's like saying what the Lord Jesus did on the cross has value to God. But more than that, what the Lord Jesus did on the cross is the most precious thing in all of the universe to God. You see the difference? There are things that I have in my house that I find valuable, right? But they're on a scale. So that if I had to leave the house in a hurry because of a fire, there are certain things that I wouldn't go back for, right? Like I have my favorite pants. I'm wearing my favorite socks. I have my favorite chair, right? All those things. But those things can go in the fire. They have some value to me, but they're not that important. But there are other things, and I look at it and I say, hey, my wife is sleeping in the bed. She's of ultimate value. I go up. I go back in the fire for her, right? You see the difference? There are many things that are valuable to God in this world. God looks at sinners and he loves you. God looks at the creation and he values it. But there's nothing more valuable in this universe than what the Lord Jesus has done when he died on the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ is absolutely precious blood. Precious. And we talked about it in nights past, that it is the blood that is the currency of heaven. And we highlighted that just by saying this. If you wanted to pay for your groceries at the co-op, you need Canadian dollars, right? Anything short of real money would be rejected. So I know that some of you have Monopoly money at home, or you have fake money, maybe. And you take that fake Monopoly money to the co-op, and you put $80 worth of groceries on the counter, and you give the lady $100 of Monopoly money, and do they let you take the groceries? No, because they don't accept that as currency. Now, what about if you were to take all of the grapes that you have at your house and take those in and trade them for a carton of milk? Well, you say, well, that might be a better deal, but they still wouldn't do it. Why? That's not what they accept for payment. But grapes aren't that valuable anyway, are they? What about if you went home and you found the nicest rocks in your driveway and you took them, you went to the effort of collecting them and you took them right up to the counter and you said, I will take a dozen eggs and I will take a carton of milk and here's my favorite rocks. Well, you value them, right? But that's not what they accept for payment. The only thing they accept are Canadian dollars. Now, tell me this. If God is expecting a payment for sin, what currency does he accept? Some of us would like to think that God will accept us. But that's just like trying to give the best rocks, right? You might think you're acceptable. You might think you're enough. But that's not the currency that God takes. And some of us would like to think that if I start going to church, then God will be paid for sin. But that's like taking the Monopoly money, right? You can see it, and you had to go and collect it, but there's no value to it, to God. Why? It's not the money that God accepts for sin. It's not the currency. What is the currency that God accepts for sin? The co-op accepts Canadian dollars, and God accepts the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how important that blood is. But now, you think about it. Who is the Lord Jesus? He is the Son of God. He is God, more than a prophet, more than a good man, God manifest in flesh. What did the Son of God do? He died, he shed his blood to pay the price of sin to God. Now, both of those things are indisputable facts from the Bible. You say, why do you say that? Because you can't change it no matter what you do with it. You believe tonight that he's the Son of God? He is the Son of God. If you don't believe that he's the Son of God, he's still the Son of God. Why? Because facts do not change because of your opinion. That blood that he shed on the cross has already satisfied God for sin. If you believe that that blood has satisfied God for sin, it has satisfied God for sin. If you don't believe it, it has still satisfied God for sin. Why? Because it's a fact that doesn't change with your opinion. But why did he do it? Why would he go to the cross? Why would he allow himself to be nailed to a cross? Why would he suffer? Remember who he is now. Why would he suffer? Well, I'd like to tell you in three different three different aspects. The first one we already talked about. He suffered to satisfy God because of sin. Why? Because your blood could never satisfy God for sin. When you die, it will never satisfy God for sin. When sinners end up in a lost eternity, God gets no pleasure from that. He gets no satisfaction from that. But when the Lord Jesus died, did it to satisfy God. Number two, according to our passage that we read, he died to make peace. Now, it may be foreign to some people to think about God as your enemy. But according to the Bible, sinners are enemies of God. Now, some of us may look better, some of us may act better, but all of us are enemies of God. In fact, we read it right here in the passage. Enemies in your mind by what? Wicked works. That is, because of our sin, we are constituted an enemy of God. And when the Lord Jesus came into the world and he died on the cross, the Son of God dying on the cross, he was dying to make peace between God and man. And he did. Peace through the blood of his cross. But there's one thing in here that I need to get to before the end of my message. It says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What do you think about sin? And does your sin bother you? We need to address that if this is going to mean anything to us. If sin is no big deal, then forgiveness has no benefit, right? If sin to you is just some mistake that you make and everybody should get over it, and if they don't get over it, it's their problem. Now, I would smile at somebody saying that, but a lot of people in our world live like that. If you can't deal with me, that's your problem. Right? But sin is not like that. Sin is serious. And sin is so serious that it will keep us out of heaven. Sin is so serious it is keeping us from God right now. Sin is so serious that it will have us spend eternity in fire. That's how serious sin is. And sin should bother us. It shouldn't bother us just that sin has those eternal consequences, although it does, but it should bother us that our sin is against God, and we should feel guilty. We should understand our guilt. Why? Because sin is serious. Now, the Lord Jesus came into the world, the Son of God, went to the cross and shed his blood so that we could have the absolute forgiveness of sins. So tonight, as we are preaching the gospel, and we have been now for an hour, we are preaching to you that because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross, God can release you from your sin. The word forgiveness here is the word for releasing from a bondage, releasing from a debt, so that sin has you trapped and God wants to free you, so that your conscience, impressed by the guilt of sin, can be cleansed and released from the guilt that comes with being a sinner. From every aspect of sin, God wants to give you a release and forgiveness. What am I saying? I'm saying if your sins bother you, trust Christ. He'll forgive every one of them. Everyone. Leaving none behind. I can't help but think about that verse in 1 John chapter 1. Here it is now. If you want to know about sin, and if you want to know about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are we told? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So you could sit there and you could scratch down every type of sin that you know of, and there will be more than you can think of. And every type of sin can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can sit there and try and list all the sins that you've committed in your lifetime. And I would say you're going to forget a lot of them, right? Forget a lot of them. You forget more than you remember. You know, all the sins that you committed this week, just since Sunday, all the sins you committed today, you write them down. And you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from every single sin. Every single one. But I feel I should say this. The religious world would like to offer you absolution or forgiveness from sins temporarily. What I mean by that is this. You confess your sins now, you ask for forgiveness, and you're good until you sin again. Then you'll have to come back and ask for forgiveness again. Then you're good until you sin again. Then you have to come back. I could say this all night. Right? I can keep going in this circle. That's not the forgiveness God is offering. God is not offering temporary forgiveness contingent upon confession. God is offering permanent, complete forgiveness the moment you trust Christ. That's the forgiveness He has for you. He is the Son of God. He is God. He has shed His blood when He died on the cross. He did it to satisfy God, to make peace, and to give the forgiveness of sins. We'll pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the merciful, kind Savior that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that so much could be said, and yet, when the gospel is boiled down, it is good news that Christ died for our sins. According to the Scriptures, He was buried and rose again the third day. According to the Scriptures. And tonight, Father, we are thankful for the Son of God, for the death of Calvary, and forgiveness through His blood. We look to Thee to bless us now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.